This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services, and Russell Mosley is our leadoff guest. He is the great-grandson of Huey Pierce Long, Jr., and the grandson of Russell Long. And it was 85 years ago today, September 10th, 1935, that Huey Long died at the old Our Lady of the Lake Hospital. He did not die at the Capitol. He lived 2 days after he was shot. And he has, of course, left an immense legacy in Louisiana. Was really only on the national stage and the state stage for about 7 years as the major figure, but he was the preeminent figure from 1928 to 1935, like no other politician, including Edwin Edwards. He left a mark that is indelible, and of course we still have lots of buildings named in his honor. So far those names have not been removed, and Huey Long is a person who is both reviled and revered, depending on your point of view, and some people in between. But he was a populist, much like our president, although Huey Long was a populist from the left side of the political spectrum. And Matt Doyle, before we get to Russell, let's hear Huey, shortly before he died, the Kingfish, describing his political point of view and an issue that remains to this day, the economic disparity between the haves and have-nots in this country.
According to the tables which we have assembled, it is our estimate that 4% of the American people own 85% of the wealth of America, and that over 70% of the people of America don't own enough to pay the debts that they owe. How many men ever went to a barbecue and would let one man take off the table what's intended for 9/10 of the people to eat? The only way you'll ever be able to feed the balance of the people is to make that man come back and bring back some of that grub he ain't got no business with.
That's Huey Long, orator like few others, and he had an amazing following at the time of his death. And I know you've become quite a historian about your great-grandfather. Russell Mosley was born in 1975. 40 years almost after his great-grandfather died, but he knows Huey pretty well. And when we talk about what he did at a time when people were suffering and money was scarce, it is amazing how he basically rebuilt the state of Louisiana.
Well, Jim, first, thanks for having me, and I appreciate the opportunity to discuss Huey Long, because I think that many people have forgotten or don't understand what type of politician he was and what the time was like in 1928 when he was elected governor. Most people may not remember that 1927 we had the Great Flood. So that was a big issue. And then we had the Great Depression when Huey Long was running for political office. And we had less than 300 miles of paved road in Louisiana. We had only 3 bridges over major water. We had only 10 health care facilities that provided any services to poor folks, and LSU was rated a Class C school. It was 88th in the country in ranking, and we just had bad conditions back then. So I think you have to look at Huey Long in terms of the times that he lived in. And back then, you couldn't even get your cart to market if you were a farmer because the roads were rutted out. There was a poll tax that was due every year. It was a dollar. You had to travel to the county seat. If you didn't pay it 2 years in a row, you couldn't vote. So less than half of the folks who wanted to vote could vote because they couldn't afford to pay the poll tax, and they certainly couldn't take off a whole day of work to travel on bad roads to get to the county seat to pay the poll tax. So it was a completely different Louisiana. Although there are some common issues that still remain, it was a different time.
Well, Russell Mosley is a graduate of Episcopal, LSU, and LSU Law School, and he is a prominent developer in our community. Long Farm is your major focus, and it is doing quite well. And most developers, as we have talked, are not on the left side of the political spectrum. And I'm not sure you are either, but you are a registered Democrat?
Yep, still a registered Democrat. I registered as a Democrat when I was old enough to vote at 18. Back then, the Southern Conservative Democrat was very popular. Most elected officials were Democrats in the state of Louisiana. And most of the South were still Democrats at that time. Now, there's been a sea change in the last 27 years since I registered to vote, in Louisiana especially, and across the Deep South. But back then, everybody was a Democrat. Not everybody, but a vast majority of people were Democrats, and our statewide elected officials, for the most part, were Democrats.
Every now and then, people talk about you running for office, and you would be a strong candidate based on who you are, and then you also have this pedigree, being a close relative, about as close as you can get to Huey and Russell Long, and even Earl Long. But you have refrained from doing that. Do you ever give a thought about getting in the fray?
I have thought about it. I haven't thought about it recently. When I was younger, right out of law school, as a young practicing attorney, I did think about it more often. But there are so many ways to serve, and I've chosen to serve Baton Rouge and in our state through nonprofits. I've been on the Board of Supervisors for the Louisiana system, appointed by Kathleen Blanco, and multiple other boards, 7 to 10 boards, I think. And what I've enjoyed about my life is the fact that I can, at some point, get home and see my kids. And most people should really appreciate elected mm-hmm. officials because they don't have that opportunity. For instance, a congressman will often leave on Monday, not come home till Thursday, Friday, or maybe even longer, depending on the issues in Washington. They may see their family for 2 days a week, 3 days a week, or not at all. And that's very difficult. And it was certainly difficult in my family. My mom was four when my grandfather was elected to the United States Senate at the age of 29. My aunt was just a little baby. So that really, she didn't have an opportunity to really spend that quality time. And neither of them had as much time as they would have wanted with mm-hmm. their father. And I just decided that I would coach the kids, serve on nonprofit boards, work hard, and then later on there may be another opportunity. A lot of people don't start political careers until later in life.
But you're now 3 years older than Huey Long was when he died, and that's another thing people don't appreciate, is that his tenure would have been much longer. We're talking a generation longer, at least, if he had lived, because he was not going away. He would have been part of Louisiana lore for some time and probably would have been governor many times over. And if you'd like to talk with Russell Mosley, 877-217-5757, or talk at talklouisiana.org. Now, two books won Pulitzers about Huey. One was a work of fiction, Robert Penn Warren, All the King's Men. The other was a biography about Huey from T. Harry Williams. Did you like those books?
I really like T. Harry Williams' book. It was a Pulitzer Prize winner, as you mentioned. It's over 800 pages, so you really have to commit to it. But he did the book based on oral interviews, and he interviewed several hundred people, pro-Huey Long people and people who were against Huey Long. But he tried to find the real story of Huey Long, and I thought he did a very good job of encapsulating it. Do I like everything in the book? No. But is it historical? Yes. It's based on primary source materials. And I think that word is so important now, primary mm-hmm. source materials. You cannot believe everything you read in the newspaper. You can't believe everything you read in books or magazines. But if you go back to the original source documents and interview the people who were actually there witnessing the events, that's the best way to create a historical book. And that's what was done by T. Harry Williams. Now, since that time, many books have been written about Huey Long, and they might as well be fiction because they're not based on primary source materials, and they're sloppy scholarship. And so the story of Huey Long's life has changed over time, and a lot of it is because of the sloppy scholarship and the fact that a lot of it's been based on newspaper articles, some of which were not true.
Well, I remember talking with Henson Moore on this program, who's, of course, a Republican and politics much different than those of Huey Long, and he acknowledged that his contribution to our state is indelible. In fact, as the reports are, that 20% of all the construction in the United States in the Depression was in the state of Louisiana, and he was able to do that. But Henson Moore said, I questioned his methods. Were those methods necessary to get it done?
At the time, yes. You know, at the time, it was a different political system. You know, people say that Huey Long used the patronage system. Well, he did, but so did the governors before him. And it was just the way that things were done back then. Now, if you wanted to get anything done, you had to fight the entrenched ruling class. They called them the old regulars in New Orleans. They typically controlled elections. They kept people from voting. They put their supporters in positions of prominence. But they weren't getting anything done for the people of Louisiana. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, we had less than 300 miles of paved road. We only had 10 health care facilities that provided any benefit to poor people. And LSU was at the bottom of the ranking. So what were they doing for the people?
We're going to go to the phone lines, and we've got some folks lined up to talk to Russell Mosley, great-grandson of Huey Pierce Long, who died 85 years ago today, back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing. We're going to go to the phone lines in just a moment, 877-217-5757. Baton Rouge developer, great-grandson of Huey Pierce Long, Jr., and grandson of Russell Billy U. Long, the U.S. Senator for Louisiana for, 1948 to 1986, so a little over 38 years he was in the United States Senate. He had a tenure much longer than did his father, and Russell Long, who was born in, 1918, November 3rd. He was, I'm doing the math right now, if he's born in 1918, his dad died in 1935, he was 16 years old. Yeah, yeah. 877-217-5757. And Russell is a prominent lawyer, and you were commenting that back in the day when you were studying at the LSU library and you'd drive home down Highland Road, you'd be right behind Nick Lusaben, who'd be leaving LSU. Guy worked a little late in those days, right?
Absolutely. I think the job of football coach is 24/7, and I'd imagine that he got home and probably worked more from the house.
Jeff in Spanish Town. Jeff, you're on Talk Louisiana with Russell Mosley. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. Hey, I live down here in Spanish Town, so I walk our dogs over on Capitol Grounds. So, Russell, every morning and every night, I say good morning to your grandfather and good night. I think it's a great statue, beautiful grounds. You know, definitely left a legacy not only for the history of Louisiana, but also what he did at the Capitol, which is absolutely amazing in such a short time. One of the great architectural feats, I think, especially during that time. But, you know, speaking of what Louisiana was back then, 300 miles of roads and everything else, and I've read stories about during the Great Flood that a lot of the people that had to go to refugees camps, that's the first time, you know, citizens of Louisiana actually experienced a light bulb as far as electricity. So I think if your grandfather would have been around for a while, I don't think we would be chasing Mississippi and Arkansas for that 49th and 50th spot. I think.
All right. What would have been? What would have been? He was only 42 years old when he died. And Jeff brings out some good points. And another listener, before we go back to the phones, asked, how do you think he died? Was it the bodyguards or was it Carl Austin Weiss? Who fired the fatal shot?
Well, I think it was Carl Weiss. My grandfather, of course, had a huge interest in what happened that day. And he interviewed everybody who was at the scene, spent a lot of time looking at the records, and that was his firm conclusion. And, you know, it's not fun to think of anybody because, of course, the Weiss family lost a family member that day too, and it was a terrible day in both of our families. But the story that was told to me, and it was based on the account of every single witness who was at the scene, and let me tell you about the witnesses. You had Justice Fournette, who was a Supreme Court justice, later became the Chief Justice of the Louisiana Supreme Court. You had Elliot Coleman, who later became a sheriff. You had Murphy Roden. Murphy became a naval officer who accompanied the atomic bomb either to Nagasaki or Hiroshima, so he had to pass some serious naval examinations to get to that point, including being a truthful individual. And you had Chick Frampton as a newspaper reporter, and there were several others. every single one of them told the same story, which was Carl Weiss was by the column in the Capitol hallway, which many people have been to. He walked out, and he went to shoot Huey higher in his chest, and Murphy Roden actually knocked the gun down some, and when the gun recoiled, it took off a piece of his finger between his thumb and his index finger, and he would talk about that for years afterward. But if there was a conspiracy, and it was a conspiracy among the bodyguards, how could you anticipate bringing in the newspaper reporter? Or what about the Chief Justice of the mm-hmm. Supreme Court?
Well, Austin Weiss, Carl Austin Weiss, he was shot 61 times, I believe. I guess the theory that was first posited by Ed Reed in Requiem for a Kingfish is that there was such a wild melee there with shots going everywhere that anything could have happened, and there were more shots fired at Weiss than the shot fired at Huey.
Well, but the first shot had to come from somewhere, right? And if a guy comes from behind a column...
Could he have been shot more than once, or do we know definitively he was shot only once?
We know definitively he was shot once because there was one entry wound and the bullet went through his body, and there was one exit wound.
Okay.
But, you know, some people have said that somebody went to find Carl Weiss's car in the parking lot of the Capitol, got his gun and brought it to the scene and planted it there. Now, that doesn't seem very plausible to me. And, you know, I don't have any interest in saying that it doesn't help me to say that Carl Weiss did it. I just think he did. And it's not a fun topic for anybody.
877-217-5757. Dan downtown. Dan, you're on with Russell Mosley. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Mr. Mosley, does long form prefer to be part of Better Together or part of a smaller new city?
Long Farm, the development, is it part of Together Baton Rouge or part of a new city?
Well, it's part of Baton Rouge, of course, but it's in East Baton Rouge Parish. It is within the city limits of St. George.
Were you a supporter of St. George?
I really didn't take a stance on St. George because many people at Long Farm are supporters of St. George. We have Woodlawn High School there, and their main interest was seeing Woodlawn change. And then, of course, I'm from Baton Rouge, and I understand the other side of the situation concerning St. George and potential losses of tax revenues for our city. So it was a tough topic for me.
David in Atlanta. David, you're on Talk Louisiana with Russell Mosley. Hi, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, when Huey was running for president, one of his famous quips was, "The only difference between the Democrats and Republicans is like high Papa Lorum and low Papa Hiram. High Papa Lorum is made with the bark of the tree from the top down, and low Papa Hiram is made with the bark from the tree from the bottom up."
Yeah, well, Huey was a master of the language, and those statements he made, they resonate all these years later. How many people listened to his radio show at that time?
Well, at one point in time, there was the population of the United States was 125 million, and 25 million people, so 20% of the whole population, listened to his show.
We're listening to Huey Long, and that's why he was a nightmare for Franklin Roosevelt. He was, of course, running potentially to the left. Would he have run for president in 1936?
Oh, yeah, he was planning on running for president. And so what he did was challenge Roosevelt to move further to the left on Social Security. And
he
if you look at...
The Bernie Sanders of his day, and you may not like that comparison, but
in terms of being a disruptor, maybe so. In terms of accomplishments, no. You know, Huey Long accomplished a lot more than Bernie Sanders.
Bernie, by the way, ran for governor of his state and was crushed. I mean, absolutely crushed. Mm-hmm. And he, of course, peaked in his 70s, and Huey was 42. What would have happened? What do you think he would have? Would he have been elected president? I mean, if he'd run in 36, chances are he would not have won, but he would have been back in 1940, maybe in 1944. Remember, it took Reagan 3 tries. Would he have kept on going?
I think there's a chance he could have been elected. I think he probably would have needed to move a little bit more to the middle on some of his policies and refine some of it, too. I think times change. Every year it's a different political situation. But I think he would have adapted. There's always a chance. I think that some of his campaign promises, like the Share Our Wealth program, which was growing drastically at the time. Of course, and, you know, again, it was a Great Depression, and people were looking for a way just to get by. And so the Share Our Wealth program spoke to that. I think over time he probably would have said, you know, we can't keep sharing the wealth because it hurts the economy too much. And I think that, if you take mm-hmm. too much from business people over time, you're not going to have businesses and you're not going to have the jobs. So that's the dichotomy in politics. It's got to be a balance. And we struggle with that in our country and always have.
Well, he was a great political figure. A listener asked, and we only got a few seconds, was he a good man?
I think he was a great man. I think that if you read his Bible, I have his Bible, and I read his Bible, and it is underlined all over the place. And so I think he wanted to do the right thing. He just wanted to let anybody get in the way.
Thank you, Russell Mosley. Let's talk again soon. This has been fun. Appreciate you. We'll be back with more after this timeout.